Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, Fashion Hags. Welcome to episode 34.
Yeah, you're.
Hi. Hey.
34.
We've decided.
I don't have a quip for 34. I'm sorry. I got nothing.
No.
I was thinking.
It's like when I turned 24. I was like, I don't need to have a birthday.
No.
Yeah, you're fine. Oh. What are you going to celebrate? 24?
Yeah.
Lame.
Lame. Let's wait
are
for
we
next
celebrate 34?
Year. Quarter of a century. We've had some amazing messages recently from some hag listeners.
Yes.
Yeah. Fellow hag for life. Shout out to all the hags.
Yes. And awesome. It inspired us to have a Fashion School Stitch and Bitch part 2.
Yes. I'm so excited about this one. When we were talking about this one and when we nailed down, surprise, surprise, our guest, we have a fabulous
yes.
guest.
Yes.
Our good friend Claire Gabbro from Fashion School. When we figured out that this is what we were going to do, I was like, this is going to be the best podcast ever. This is going to be the most fun.
We're winning.
So excited.
We've already been on it for about an hour here.
Just, yeah, we've just been upstairs.
Shooting it upstairs. Yeah.
Like, oh, let's get down in front of these microphones then.
We should also note that we have a fifth guest.
Yes. Yeah. Poppy's down here.
She's joined us yet again.
And she's snorting and eating and being very loud. So that's what you hear. There's a snorty little piglet in here.
It's the joys of motherhood.
The plan is for her to go to sleep.
We shall see.
We'll see how that goes.
Oh, should we kiki?
But it's episode 34. Let's get to it. So yeah. What's up? What's been going on?
I'm not going to talk about work, blah, 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 blah. But my family dog was pregnant over Christmas and it was this big mystery. Like, she's kind of old and she was getting really fat. And it's like, is she just fat or is she pregnant? And then she turned out to be pregnant. And then she only had one dog, but it's like, okay, she was fat and pregnant.
Okay, it was a double whammy.
Yeah. And
you couldn't be both at the same time.
My
it's possible.
But my sister has been sending and sharing a lot of videos of the dog, and it's really cute because my cousin, who's just a year younger than me, has two daughters, and they've been spending a lot of time. They love to spend time with my parents. And my parents babysit them a lot, and they're obsessed with the dog.
And they have puppy.
So yeah, it's just like this 3-year-old holding a dog that's like almost as long as her entire body.
Aww.
And it's just like the cutest thing ever.
So is it like just a classic farm mutt dog? Like,
oh yeah, we don't know who the father is. And but it's she's a black lab with blue eyes and it's beautiful.
Oh hi there.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Too bad Maury isn't around anymore.
We can't do a dog paternity test.
Just find the dog with blue eyes. I'm sure that
there's probably only one dog.
Yeah.
And one person in all of my hometown that has blue eyes.
Probably.
I'm hoping it was the dog.
Yeah. Same. Honestly. Yeah. But also, speaking of hometown, I've been doing a lot of like I said before, I did a lot of genealogical research, and I've been doing more research into like the area in my hometown specifically. And I found out that like 2,500 years ago,
a long ass time ago,
the Assiniboine River flowed right through my hometown.
Oh yeah,
and then somehow
and
over
it doesn't
the years,
anymore?
And it doesn't anymore. Like it cuts through Winnipeg, and like there's the Forks and the Red River settlement. Just Google it. It's like the birth of the Métis Nation. Blah blah blah. But it's just really interesting that the marshlands and everything is a result of the river having run from Lake Manitoba through the town. And it's like, it's so weird. And like, just, I feel like there should be like archaeological digs going on in around my hometown because of you can tell, like, any time that there's a large body of water, there was obviously like settlements there.
Sure. Totally. People would come to it. Yeah.
So it's been like, I'm always doing research into my heritage and my hometown to further like the design research and like just also getting to know my family ties and all that. Yeah, but that's what I've been up to, keeping sane and trying to distract myself from the weariness of the world.
Yeah.
By looking at cute dogs.
Oh, you're telling me.
Looking into my heritage.
Well, it was Louis Riel Day on Monday, right?
It was, yeah.
Viva la Resistance, I think. Mm-hmm. That's not really a Louis Riel thing, but get Riel.
Throw it in.
You know. We're throwing it in. Throw it in there.
Yeah. Viva la Louis Riel? No, I don't think that's right either. I don't know how you'd say
Look
that
up Louis Riel if you don't know who Louis Riel. R-I-E-L. Louis Riel.
Yeah.
He's cool dude.
He's pretty badass.
Google he's it. A Canadian icon, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah. I did my nails.
Woo!
Fun. Transition to something less interesting.
Black.
Took me to very dark purple and took me 3 days to do all of my coats. I can only do a little bit at a time. Because I have a base coat, two colors, and a top. So it was like, and then one hand was done, and then, I got there though. Got there in the end.
Good for you.
And that was like my thing for the longest time, for like 5 years, like straight. I had nail polish on all the time.
Yeah, you always had nail polish in school. Destroyed
my nails. Another story. Which just meant I had to cover more and more nail polish to cover my shitty nails.
I know. I always felt like such a...
It's sad. Just not such a haggard. Having it.
And then, got pregnant and then kids and
but
whatever.
Even through fashion school, they were perfect.
They were perfect.
I know, cut through glass.
Yeah. And now made me mad. I feel good. I feel good. I got good.
I was like, ooh.
I know. We're pulling our hair out at like 10:30 at night and Abby's got these nice clackety nails. Like, so beautifully done.
It's my one thing. Like, the rest of me could be falling apart.
I know, but nails.
But they make me feel put together.
Yes. It's I was getting mine done for a while, getting, like, crazy designs.
Nice ones? Yeah.
Like, acrylic, and I was, like, feeling so fresh.
In the office, just like...
And then I was broke.
Yeah.
Because I was spending all my money on my nails.
Yeah, because that shit ends up...
Yeah. But like when Abby does her nails, it looks like you went to a salon. Like it's like full on shellac.
I only ever do a solid color. Every once in a while I do like polka dots or something interesting. But I don't fuck around. And if it gets one chip in it, it's all off.
It's gone. Yeah.
No.
Remove.
You will never see me with chip nail polish ever.
Good for you.
I'm not one of those people that wears it for months and months.
Whole chip nail polish trend was absolutely atrocious.
Not my jam.
I'm the kind of person who I'll do one coat, like I'll do obviously my left hand first because I'm right-handed and it'll look okay, and then I'll do my right hand and it'll be like kind of smeary, and so I'll just fake it, and then I will inevitably not wait long enough for it to dry, and then it smears off.
I'm
never doing this again. And then a year and a half later, I try it again, and I do the same thing.
That's why I'm either like full gel, acrylic, design, or nothing.
Or nothing.
There's no in between.
That's part of the reason why I started doing my own nails is because I would go to the salon, I would go get them done, and then fuck them up on the way home.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I'm like, I just paid $25. Oh, God. So if I do it at home and I fuck it up, it's on me and it's free and I just fix it myself.
Yeah. Right.
But I felt so bad. I'd get so pissed if I'd get a big gash in it or something, like getting my keys out of my purse or something. Like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So that's no fun. So that's my excitement. Also, Katie and I went to a hockey game.
Well, I was going to say, that was mine. I got a text from Abby last week and it was, hey, do you want to go to a hockey game with me? And I was like, wait, did I lose my hockey? Wait, I was like, me?
Hockey?
I was like, I think I said,
do I know another Abby?
I was like, Abby Campbell? I think I said, like, me? Like, yeah, like, but this doesn't sound like us. You're like, yeah, I know. I got tickets from Dave, so why don't we go? And I was like, okay, like, I'm getting an invite from my friend Abby, who now has two babies, and it's just me and Abby hanging out with no babies, no husbands.
And you're like, yes.
It doesn't matter what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're going.
It's great. The best. And it was fun. It was great.
Yeah?
I showed up a little bit drunk.
We barely paid attention to the hockey. Literally, it's like, 5 minutes left in third period. Oh, okay. Like, oh, shit.
Oh, and then they went into overtime, and I was like,
when does the bar close? Overtime?
Come on. I thought we had this all wrapped up.
Oh, well, I got to go. I got a hard out at 10. I got to go. Yeah.
Who was playing? Were the Louisiana Lampshades playing?
Oh, it was the Calgary Flames and the Louisiana Lampshades.
Oh, yes. Cool.
What? Cool.
Favorite team, the Louisiana Lampshades.
Here's what just happened in my head. I was thinking, I know it was the Flames, but who were the Flames playing? They were playing the Vancouver Canucks in the city that we live in.
Yeah.
In Vancouver.
Yeah.
Doi. Doi. Doi.
The blue guys?
The blue guys. It was the Reds playing the Blues. And one of them won. It was
somebody won, I think.
That was the end. That's how it happened.
And then Abby gave me a ride home and it was the best.
It was nice.
It was so nice. Such a nice evening out. I know. I told my husband, and I was like, "I'm going to the hockey game with Abby." He's like, "What? You
are?" It was also weird that you just said husband.
Oh. That was the first time you've heard her say it, right?
Yeah.
The first time I was like, "Oh, la di da."
Oh,
like,
hello.
Just like.
I'm the real deal.
Just the bitter single girl in the corner, just like,
oh my God. Mm.
Guess what, bitches? I'm a wife now. Take that.
But you're first and foremost a woman.
Well, obviously.
You're your own person.
I'm still a Garnum. I didn't take his name yet.
So. Good for you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Being a wife is fucking dope as shit, and I love it. I love having a husband. He's the best.
I didn't think I was going to be excited to call someone husband, and then I'm like, I want to call you husband.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I love it.
Oh my God, that's weird.
Well, once you've been dating for so long, like David and I dated for like over a decade before we got married.
Yeah.
And it was just weird at that point calling him my boyfriend.
It's no.
You know,
I say like, partner, but that's also like,
I don't know, I never, it's that never worked for me either.
Right.
Partner.
Yeah. It's too country western calling someone your partner.
Lover.
My lover.
Yeah.
My lover slash roommate.
Yeah.
My life mate.
My man friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it never...
No.
The boyfriend wears out after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially totally. When you know you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're like, this is what it is. So, we're going to have to move on.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, it was awesome. It was grand.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Anything exciting happened with you, Claire, lately?
I am actually working on a performance
piece. Claire dances and performs and stuff. That's very exciting.
I'm a dancer and performer, and I got booked for a gig. I'm doing a solo performance on March 11th.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. No way.
Yes. Where? It's an event called Ciliate, which is an art event. So there's tons of artists, visual artists and performance artists and DJs and music and dancing and great taste.
cool shit.
Yeah, so it'll be my first solo performance since I was like 17 years old.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so I've been kind of obsessing over that and going into, like, just diving into the song and, you know.
Are you choreographing the piece?
Creative world, yeah.
Awesome.
Choreographing, it's going to be pretty freestyle based because I've been... That's kind of like how my body is moving a lot lately, but like a structured freestyle. So that's kind of what I've been doing with most of my time in the last couple weeks. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm super excited.
Yeah. And Claire also has a day job working in the local fashion industry here in town. So, you know, she's
local
legit.
/ international fashion industry.
Yeah.
International.
Claire works for a global company.
Global.
Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. So
it's very fabulous.
She's one of those people who went to fashion school with who's actually working in fashion.
Yeah.
I have a job. It's crazy. I actually have to pinch myself a lot of the time at work. I'm like, this is happening.
This is
right
your
now.
Life. Yeah. This is your job. This is what you get paid for.
I'm like, I'm using Gerber.
Yeah. These are skills I went to school and acquired on purpose.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's crazy, but it's also like, learning so much. So it's great.
That's exciting. And for all the uninitiated, Gerber is the AutoCAD pattern drafting technology system.
Digital pattern drafting.
We learned it at school and it was...
We talked about it, I think, on our last episode.
How terrible it was.
It was like our math. Yeah. It broke me.
I loved it.
Yeah. Claire was really good at it.
Claire worked it into a move.
Abby and I were not
I think it was like halfway through DPM 2 where I was
digital
just
pattern
like,
making.
Yeah, digital pattern making too, where I was just like, this is the thing I'm gonna pay somebody to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm taking stock of who in this class knows what they're doing and I'm not losing their number.
Yeah.
That's what this is gonna be. Mm-hmm.
Yes. For all the people who are in fashion school who inspired us to do this Stitch and Bitch part 2, keep those friends who know whose skills that you know they have
that you don't
hang
have.
On to those.
Oh, yeah,
you're definitely.
Keep them. Somebody knows an illustrator, keep them on file.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody knows who can draw.
Yeah.
But more keep so the person who can draw and do all these things that you can tolerate being around.
Yes. Yeah.
That's very important.
And people that you can bounce ideas off of. That is that super mesh valuable. Well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's cool. Well, I guess we're kind of already segueing into our topic here, school and stuff. Yeah, like Evan said, we've had a couple of people email us and Facebook message us about getting inspired and going back to school or taking, you know, classes on the side and stuff. So,
which is kind of
what we did back in the day, right? Evan was kind of jumping into it
you know,
pretty fresh.
I was pretty gung-ho at high school.
Yeah. But we all knew. Yeah. The day you came out of the womb,
yeah,
you knew.
Yeah, that's where you're headed.
I was 5 years old drawing on the back of bingo flyers, drawing dresses with my mama. Literally. Yeah.
Not surprised.
No.
Nope. Not at all.
No. But the other three of us, we came to it later in life. We had a little bit of a break between high school and this and had some other life experiences and stuff. But mm-hmm. It was a calling.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, this industry's so fucked up, you better love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not one of those jobs you kind of just like, oh, I guess this is my job now?
No.
You're like, no, you got to kind of seek it out and suck it up and get through a bunch of shit.
Off. Yeah.
And you got to learn... I think the biggest thing that I learned, like, coming out of fashion school was, like, oh, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, when you finish school and you get into a job or a workplace, whatever, you know so little. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Be prepared to be completely humbled.
Which is also one of the most awesome things about the industry as well, is that you're constantly learning, and it's just the amount of knowledge out there is so vast.
Yeah. And there's so many parts to it that, like you know, you take classes at school or you take classes on the side and you realize that you go into something thinking like, oh, this is going to be great. And then you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But then you take something else you didn't even know and you're like, holy shit, this part's fucking great.
Yes. And there's so many different areas in it as well. Like I remember going into fashion school, I felt like I had some kind of idea of like what I would be doing as a job after. And even when we were done, I still didn't really understand what types of jobs there actually were out there. And now that I am working in the industry, I'm like, oh, like
that's a thing.
This one class that we did is like an entire job. Yeah, it's an entire career.
And not only that, like this one class, but like that one discussion that we had in that one class is a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's especially when you get into like a bigger company and there are way more specialized areas.
Yeah, a whole bunch of departments and stuff that are super focused on one specific thing, right?
And when you're in a small company, you have to kind of do it all. You kind of have to wear all the hats. So it's a cool way to learn lots. Like you can really learn, how to do things really well. You can learn how not to do things well.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I learned a lot of how not to do things.
Yeah, that'll happen.
For small companies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Probably more of that than...
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
But, you know,
you also realize how much you already know inherently. Like, it's like you... Something will be going down and you're like, no, we should not do that. It's like, no, that's red flag. Stop. Yeah. What are you doing? Like,
rethink this.
And you need to be the whistleblower and be prepared. Sometimes people don't like the whistleblower.
Oh, they don't like them. Yeah.
That's true.
Oh no. But
I've blown a whistle or two.
So have I.
And
honey.
I'll stand by those whistles. But it's not.
Yeah. I think Claire's the only one who got that joke.
I didn't hear it. I'll listen to this
later. Listen back.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
It was a dick joke. We always have a good dick joke.
It was mostly about blowjobs.
I'm sure I can put the pieces together. But like one of the things I think, like talking about having an idea of what you're going to do when you go into school, I thought, yeah, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to be a fashion designer. It's going to be so great. And then I got to school. And I was like, I don't really like the designing part so much, but I really like the being on a team part.
Yes.
I really like the collaboration.
Creativity and the,
I really like collaborating. I'm not good at drawing. I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not good at pattern. Well, I'm not bad at pattern making, but I'm not good at
digital. You have a comprehension, which is very important.
Yeah, I do have a comprehension. It was hard won, but I got it.
Yeah,
I got
there you go.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But, oh.
Gesundheit.
Hello. She's still here, people.
Yeah,
there you go.
But like there's other things that you don't know are things until you do it and you're like, oh, that actually is exactly the thing that lines up with what I like.
My interests and my skills. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's weird how, I suppose the same with any school that you go to, like, I mean,
or whatever,
mm-hmm. any kind of life experience that you gain, you're like, oh, this is the thing for me, or this is not the thing for me at the same time. But fashion, there's no standards. There's no like, it's not like going to law school and you like, you do this and then you write the test and then you do this other thing and then you write that test and then you article and then you do this and then you're a lawyer. Or whatever.
There you go. And you get a certificate and boom,
you
a lawyer.
You can do this job, this job, this job. There's like But in fashion, yeah, really, you can create your own fucking job if you want.
Yeah.
Or you don't even have to bother going to school and you just have an Instagram account, yeah, and all of a sudden you're a fashion designer.
It's so simple. Honey,
I was just complaining. I was just complaining the other day with one of my coworkers about this sudden burgeoning thing happening on Instagram right now, where it's like any hot Instagram dude can get a shitty sewing machine from Walmart and throw together a garbage t-shirt.
It's infuriating.
It's like, and you call himself your fashion designer, and it's like, oh yeah, you also have 30,000 followers on Instagram who will buy anything you like because they want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is where fashion's heading. Obviously, when Vet Ma is like the most coveted brand in fashion and it's a sack of shit. I mean, like,
something's happening.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
I mean, in my experience, I have had to work with people that don't know anything about how to make garments. Mm-hmm. They have no experience. They've never been to school. They've never worked in the industry. They just like happened upon the situation.
They wear clothes.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, I have great style.
I have a domestic sewing machine.
And somebody told them like, oh, you should do a line. And yeah, then that's,
or then
that's
they end up getting you funding, right? Yeah. So then they can actually do it.
Or and then funding as in daddy's credit card.
Yeah. Well,
wherever that money comes from.
Or yeah, whatever daddy situation wherever that might be.
Exactly.
Using that word liberally.
Daddy, in quotation.
Biologic or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. And it's infuriating.
Totally.
Working with these people. Because they just have no concept of how to do things properly. And it's a very old,
this is a new,
learned,
yeah, yeah, yes,
skill set, yes, you know?
Yeah, there are
people
don't
understand,
change,
like, all the nuances that really go into,
yeah,
the,
requirements,
this type of work.
And engineering, and, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's such all a confluence of creativity and engineering, yes, and skill
and science.
History and it's science.
Like,
and
like, physically, physics tells us that that's not possible.
Yeah.
So come on, let's just,
yeah, but then you're, yeah, like pattern drafting and you're like measuring shit and then you're like, this is actually defying the laws of physics right now.
Yeah.
There's no way this is going to be a thing, yeah, that you could put on a body and wear. Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, it's
not
like,
adding up.
So like, well, why don't we just like take this part out? And you're like, okay, well, if you take this part out, then your ass will fall out of your pants. So,
yeah.
So how
the
are
garment
you
will not exist.
It will cease to be. You know what? If that's what you want, let's do that. Let's just
if that's what you want at the end, and just have just nothing just to sew into the waistband. Sure, that's fine.
Oh man. Yeah, it can be frustrating to say the least.
Yeah.
But then when you find something, you know when you find that thing, like we all did internships.
Yeah.
Right. And like, we can talk about that, where there's the fashion industry is, and this isn't just a small thing here in Vancouver. This is how the entire industry works across the board. Free labor.
Mm-hmm.
It has had to change. Like, laws have had to change
in the last like 5 years, yeah, even, right?
Yeah.
Like, since we've finished school.
Yeah.
A lot has happened. So, but I mean, on the one hand, it's shitty because you don't get paid. But on the other hand, like in my 2 years of school, I got to do a whole bunch of different jobs where you get to test out a little bit. I mean, you do it for 3 months or whatever, or what, you know.
Yeah.
If you get a cool spot, then you can test drive these jobs a little bit.
And there's programs that require an internship, and there's programs, yeah, like ours, which did not require an internship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
did them if you wanted.
Yeah. I think most degree, like a 4-year degree program, I think usually has a,
some sort of, yeah, hour,
like a requirement, yeah, mm-hmm, internship thing. And it's like you do that instead of going to classes for that term.
Yeah.
I think essentially is what it's like. I mean, yeah, obviously that varies.
You get whatever credit you would have had for class time.
Yeah.
For working
for doing the internship
in the industry.
Which is cool because it's a cool way to see how the intern or how, you know, these companies operate and what they look like from the inside. But also interns aren't getting important jobs. Like,
no,
interns aren't,
no,
getting a job.
You're getting a raw deal.
You're getting a fly on the wall experience.
Yeah.
And you're getting really good.
And no credit.
No credit.
It's like, I especially feel like if you're there and you're like doing work.
And contributing. Like, yeah.
You're there. You're doing work.
Yeah.
You deserve
something. And every once in a while, you know, for some internships, yeah, you're doing shitty grunt work. Like,
yeah,
I worked in a showroom, which is just a bunch agency that represents different brands of clothing. They just have a big open room with a bunch of rails on it, and people who own stores or whatever, they come in and they can look at, they can hold the pieces, they can try the pieces on, they can look at it, they look at the
line sheets that tell you all the colorways and stuff, and you can talk to the brand reps about what you want and what you're looking for and yada, yada, yada. But literally, I would spend entire days turning hangers around.
And like, Swiffering and...
just literally flipping them all from facing one way to facing the other way.
Yeah.
And I would do that for 8 hours.
And you're like, cool, this is what I'm going to create.
Learning so much.
I'm totally eavesdropping on all the conversations that are happening around me. Because I'm not dumb. My shoulders are killing me. Because, of course, all the rails are at, like, shoulder level. So you're lifting your arms just enough. And the shit's heavy. You do it in the wintertime. You're lifting coats and stuff. You're like, oh, my God.
That's 50 coats.
That's a shitty job. But somebody's got to do it. And then I had another one.
Does that need to be done?
Can we get a robot or some shit in here to do this, please?
Where are the robots?
Thank you. The robots are supposed to be taking all our jobs. So
I know.
We're all these robots.
Yeah.
Please take that job.
I am not concerned at all about robots taking my job. I'm like, you take it. Someone pay me still, obviously, to do nothing.
Yeah. Robots are cool. So
that's the robot.
Yeah,
I don't think you could get a robot to do the kind of...
Okay.
I don't think you could.
Can we talk about how people think that like people aren't sewing things?
Yes.
Like, because they're like, ridiculous. Handmade. I'm like, what do you mean handmade? Like, you realize it's a human being sitting at the sewing machine making these things. Like, even in China.
Even in China.
Those are even in Bangladesh, it's still beings. A human.
It's a human.
It can't be replaced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use
the handmade thing is a weird, it is a weird one.
It's just a weird terminology, I guess, or the way people use it.
I think it's a weird, like, buzzword that has jumped on this, like.
DIY. Like, that
thing. Yeah, this, like, or this, like. Slow fashion movement.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Like that, I can understand. It's like a cool sounding word. Like it was handmade. Like my grandma made it. It's handmade. It's like, well,
it wasn't sewn by hand.
Yeah.
Because if it was, it would look like shit. No, I'm just kidding. So I know there's like couture and stuff. It's by hand, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's handmade.
You want to hand weave the shit and then hand sew it together? Yeah. Go for it.
Did you put sequins, like each individual sequin on your thing? Cool. Then
you hand embroider that shit?
Yeah.
No, you didn't? Oh,
that part. Well, that part, no. That's right.
That part was done by a robot.
Thank you, robot. It looks beautiful.
Beep, bop, boop. It only took 8 hours. Guess how much the robot was? $200,000.
And it only does this one specific job.
Yeah, the handmade thing is a bit weird, but
it's weird.
I know. I for some reason it's ringing a little bell in my head about some Instagram or some meme or something that was going around about people like being actually shocked that their clothes were made by people.
Yeah, I don't
like
think
one
they know.
Human person.
Yeah,
like it's probably not one human person sitting down and making your shirt start to finish.
It's
they are sewing
line,
two side seams and they're passing it along. They're pressing this and then they're passing it along.
Someone else is doing the neck holes. Someone else is doing the hem, you know?
Yeah. So it's probably, instead of like handmade, it's probably like 12 handmaids.
Yeah.
It's probably like 12
hands.
12
made.
Hands
it wasn't
made.
Two hands. Yeah. It was like 10.
It was like 10 or 12. I was going to say 11. Probably not 11. Hey, man.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
Big
you never
machinery know. In there. Like, things happen.
Maybe there's one robot arm in there. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know your life.
I don't know your factory. Yeah, it's bizarre that people think that. It's like cars. Like, people are not at all surprised. Oh, Poppy, she has some strong feelings.
Some stuff to say.
Yeah, you'll learn all about robots one day.
There you go.
When our robot overlords take over.
Yeah.
You'll learn all about them.
All about it.
There you go. Oh, man. But I was going to say, before we got off track about robots, I did another job. Like, the working in the showroom was kind of bullshit because it was, like, super menial, like, grunt work. But then I worked for a local brand where, and I wasn't the only intern there. She had a few people because I was only there a couple days a week. But I cut all of her samples.
Yeah, I did that too for someone.
Yeah. And it was so fun. I loved it. It was like fucking Tetris and shit. Like, it was so cool. And you got to work with all the fabrics. And then, like, you put it in a bag and you hand it to the sewer. And 90 minutes later, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
then,
do you mean that you cut using the, like...
No, I didn't use
it. No,
I
just okay, used, I was like,
no,
tell
one?
Me everything.
No.
We have one at work. It's terrifying.
I'm so afraid of them.
Yeah.
It's if you don't know what we're talking about, the way that the fabric
we'll find a video
cut,
online because it's intense.
It's crazy. It's like it's basically a portable bandsaw. It's like a handsaw, like a jigsaw but for fabric essentially, and it's mounted sort of to the table, and all the fabric is laid out in single layers.
There's like 50 or 200 layers of fabric, and you got to cut all these pieces at once with this crazy saw. Insane.
They have to wear a chainmail glove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because otherwise...
For safety? Yeah. I might end up with those 11-hander.
Anything that I have to wear chainmail? Like, yeah, exactly. That's how it happened.
That's how you got that 11th hand.
Yeah. Quality control, okay.
I know we were at the factory that we work with here locally a couple of weeks ago doing a quality check, and the guy was there,
and they're just cut it looks like the, and they're it? Just freehanding. They're just like doodly doodly doo.
And I like oh could God. Not look away.
No,
I
was
like, you know, I don't know what was happening with my actual job, the responsibilities I was there for.
But you're like,
but I was like, I cannot look this away guy. From this. It is so mesmerizing and terrifying at the same time.
I've never actually seen it go down. I just like, oh, I've seen the machine and I like know how they, and I'm like, whoa.
It's cool.
It's intense.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not the job. That's not the job for me.
No.
I don't have the nerves.
I don't think I have like the muscle strength or whatever it takes to do it.
Yeah, there's only like two guys at work who can use that because no one else is like, I won't touch that. I'm and okay. also I can't move it.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy.
Yeah.
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 But it's a totally specialized job. And like before things, I'll move to China and Asia in like, I guess the 90s, mm-hmm. like 80s and 90s. That there were hundreds of people that did that job here and in New York and mm-hmm. in Montreal and in all these places in North America. And those jobs just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's a total bummer. Like, that would be such a cool, like,
yeah.
As far as labor or like specialized labor or like construction jobs and like trade jobs, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
they just don't even exist the same way because it's not in this continent. A trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think just like a bummer. Working in a factory, you would just like, you would learn so much and you would see things from a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
We like don't really get the opportunity to like, I mean, there's some factories here, but it's like pretty minimal, and like getting a job there, like I feel like that's.
Although there are always sewing jobs. There's always sewing jobs to be had. And factories are closing and moving around because it's really hard to keep it up
Stay
here.
Stay open. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's really
super unfortunate. And then the skill set too, right? Because now
it disappears. Yeah.
Everything like. China does have the best skill, the most skilled workers at this stage because it's just been taken away from everywhere else.
Yeah, it used to be the cliche was that, you know, if it's made in China, it's crap and it's garbage and it's just a cheap kind of shitty
situation. Yeah, that's not the case anymore.
But you get what you pay for. Like, if you're going to pay a better rate to a company, they're going to give you better work.
Yeah.
But if you're going to pay them garbage,
if you're going to put them under pressure and expect them to, you know,
make deliver this, under,
then it's going to be
then the product
definitely gets, crap.
Yeah.
Newsflash,
but
it's be
that's
a piece
how
of shit.
It works. Yeah, right?
Yeah. But yeah, like this, the job that I had, job, I use that term loosely. This internship that I had, like. It was a very it was an important job.
It was.
Like, yeah, like you were doing
I was doing work
that were becoming
and
money.
Yeah, like she couldn't do her clothing line if the samples didn't get cut out.
Yep.
And she had a lot of samples, like she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you needed somebody. Like I said, I was there 2 days a week and there was at least two other people there other days of the week doing the exact same job as I was for free.
For free.
Yeah. Because she had that much labor that needed to be done. So I was just like, fuck, man, if I could get paid to do this, I would be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a pair of scissors and the pattern pieces and the fabric and let me go to town and some pins.
Yeah. Might have a job for you, Abby.
I was going to say, I would love to have Abby cutting my stuff out.
Right. Oh, it was
so precise.
Fun. I got really good at cutting stuff out. You know, and then I didn't realize that, you know, you don't realize that that in itself is a job and a specific skill set and, you know. And then it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or whatever. Definitely. You know, like also the lady, there was like a Russian lady who was the seamstress at this brand. And she just sat, just sewed samples all day. And she was a fucking machine.
We had this
it was great.
At this job that I had that I started as an internship and then I got hired on full time. Started same kind of thing. And
because you were sewing samples too, right?
Yeah. Cutting and sewing and all kinds of stuff. Like in-house sewer who was in, I think, Tuesdays and Fridays or whatever, was this little Chinese lady. And this shit that she knew just blew my mind. Like, all these like cool little tricks that I have.
Oh, yeah, like do minor corners and like, yeah, how to turn things inside out super quick. And
like, yeah, like the corners, like how to get the right, like a super, super precise corner. 90
degree corner, yeah.
All these cool tricks. And like, she used to work with leather. She used to work with Danier in Canada and used to do sew leather and sew all this cool shit. And like the stuff that she knew blew my mind.
Yeah.
And she was just like this, you know,
this little unassuming lady.
Yeah.
This little lady.
And I think you worked with her
at,
definitely.
Yeah. So funny. But yeah, she was so awesome. And like,
you know, might have to bleep out that, quiet, but that place. David, please.
Yeah. Bleep, 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 bleep. Well, that's some robot sounds
I
in
want
there.
That off the record.
Yeah, that's off the record. Scratch from the record, please. Seriously, scratch it from the record.
I'm noting the time.
Okay.
I'm noting the time. But yeah, but then you have other internships and you're just like, oh, why did I agree to do this for 3 months?
The job, the internship that I had before that, which I did not do for 3 months. I think I did 3 days, honestly.
And you're like, bye.
And you were done. And I was done. And they didn't want an intern. They just wanted free labor. It became abundantly clear that that's what they were after. There was no prospect of
it was not a reciprocal relationship. It
they was wanted
one way.
A bunch of stuff done, and they didn't want to pay someone to do it, so they put out an internship.
Ugh,
and it worst. Was so it was sucks. So bad and so awful. And I got in there, and it was like a showroom, like you were talking about in an agency. And my job the first day was I had to Swiffer everything and do a bunch of steaming. Not surprising for an internship position, but then I had to go and organize like tags or labels or something. I forget what it was. And she's like, oh, it'll just go into the design room, into the studio or whatever. So I go into this back room, having just come out of fashion school, where you have a wealth of resources, like cutting tables and sewing room, and like the whole, your whole education is about design, the whole design process and going and being inspired and channeling your inspiration into a collection and making it, and you know, this like crying and loving it and this whole process. And it was this, you know, this sort of amazing thing to sort of learn step by step and
accomplish,
nurture. Yeah. And like, it was this really cool, like, this, you can go and make this stuff. It's so amazing. And so this job, having just come out of this experience, I go into the design room. I'm using air quotes. It was an office that had like just a big table. There was no fabric. There was no thread. There was no sewing machine. There was no inspiration. There was no wall. It was essentially like walking into your dad, like into a law office, but messier.
A boardroom.
Not even a boardroom. It was a like just this crappy little off the, like around the corner kind of closety kind of office.
Sounds so inspiring.
It was awful. Yeah. I was like, this is your design.
So glamorous.
And the stuff that she was making, she was like, oh yeah, this and that. And then, we'll do
stick that, you know, together.
60 of these and we'll do, you know, this top, we'll do that. And it's everything is just a polyester piece of garbage and it's in a shitty plastic bag and like hang these up. And I was like, I cannot do this. Mm. I'm sorry.
I'm not built for this.
I am Hard too out. Fresh. Yeah. I am not ready for
I'm not jaded enough to think this is okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was too gross and it would never, I think, align with my own ethics about manufacturing and about design and about where it gets made and all this kind of stuff that I sort of pride myself on it. And I'm a bit of a snob about it, to be honest. But I was like, I can
because
do
of
this.
Experiences like this, where you realize how shitty it is.
Yeah. I was like, I
and
said
how
to her,
some people
like,
are just
sorry.
Cutting corners and just like phoning it in.
Yeah. It was exactly a phone in.
When you know how cool it can be.
Yeah, it can be so cool.
When you end
so
up great. With the right people or the right brand or right company or whatever, and you see how, you know, how much creativity and work and teamwork and industriousness and, you know, cleverness
and collaboration and inspiration and art and like craftsmanship. And I was like, no, just go, you know,
spaz it out and
put this with that and this with that and you know, unwrap those bags. And I was like, I gotta get it.
Let me go. Fashion means I had so like much more to me.
You don't understand me. I basically had a breakdown and had to tell her that, like, I'm sorry, I am not right for this. And
It's better that I just let you know
I'm
now.
I'm just going to go.
Yeah, and not come back.
And ever come back. She actually ended up, like, she was way cooler after I said, like, this is not going to work for me at all. And she's like, oh, you know, take some time. And, you know, if it's not right for you, then there's, you know, there's something else out there down the road. Like, you'll find it. And I was like, wow, I can't believe you're saying this to me. That's surprising. Yeah. But based on what I just saw in your design room.
Cool. Design studio.
It was brutal.
Oh, yoy.
No, I've never been back. It was horrible.
What was your internship experience like, Claire?
Well, I got really good at hemming pants. a pair of pants like nobody's business. Jeans.
I think they're big enough that we can talk about them, maybe. Are you? Do you want to talk about them?
I don't. I'm not sure. Who? The pant hemming?
Yeah.
Holt Renfrew?
Yeah.
It's like, nobody has to name names if they don't want to.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah.
It was good. It was alterations.
So Holt Renfrew is a super high-end retailer here. It's like, you know, fancy-schmancy designer stuff.
The Neiman Marcus of Canada.
Yeah.
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 So maybe even higher than Neiman's. Maybe more like a Bergdorf's.
Yeah, it's like super high-end.
It's like a Nordstrom. Yeah, it's a Nordstrom. Yeah.
But only the really designer
stuff. I'd
say
like Leone's is more like a Bergdorf's.
Yeah.
Just the experience. Moving on.
But so they have their own alterations department, and that's where Claire
had
an internship.
Yeah.
So when you buy, you know, $900 jeans,
you can get them hemmed for free.
That's actually a pretty cool internship.
It was pretty cool. There was a lot of people that worked there that just like knew their shit and were like super on it and like, I mean, they only gave me pants to hem because, like, that was all.
They trusted you to do.
I think I might have done, like, a minor dress alteration or something as well. But the best part was just, like, being around all the amazing clothing.
Yeah. Mm. And all the great, equipment, too. Like, yeah. Awesome machines.
Their room was,
and, like,
oh, that room's crazy. The steam machine.
Oh, yeah. The robots.
Yeah. That steam robot's awesome.
I mean, it was good. It was, I think it was 3 months, and I think the key to, especially an unpaid internship, is like, make sure there's an end date.
Yeah.
Like, make sure there's an end date.
Hard out.
Hard out. And
you meet everybody on that staff that you can. Like, introduce yourself to everyone.
Make sure they know who you are.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Totally.
I remember you telling me about the area that was like corded off that was specifically for Chanel.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, there was like this special Chanel area and there was only like one or two people that were like allowed to work on anything Chanel. And like,
when Evan obviously never forgot.
I never forgot that.
No.
I'll take it with you to my grave.
How could I forget? Oh my God.
I was like, what? Tell me more.
Yeah. Oh, that was special. They were altering a Chanel suit or something while I was in there, and it was like all bagged in white and
gloves and coats.
Awesome. Yeah, it was phenomenal. And like for me, even though I was like hemming pants, like most of them were men's pants. So for me, that was kind of great because I did menswear in school. So I just like got to look at them and like see how they were constructed.
Yeah, look at the inside of them and take them apart.
Yeah. And just like see what was going on. So that was cool. They're all serge.
Yeah.
The inside.
They ain't fancy.
That place that we need to bleep out, when I worked there, I also realized, oh, this like $500 pair of pants surged on the inside. I don't feel bad about surging anything anymore.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
No.
You're fine.
No.
Totally.
Then like one of my bosses at some other place I worked would refuse to have any surging. Like, it can't be surged. It can't be surged. It can't be surged. I'm like, do you realize, like, there's like a $500 pair of pants, a whole Renfrew that's surged on the inside, but you're not going to let me surge this armhole right now?
You make me
you're
bind
make
it.
Me
you
make
spin.
Me bind it.
Yeah. Are you selling this for $500?
Yeah.
Because, fine.
Fine.
Then, yeah, fine.
It's insane. But yeah, that was great. And then I did another internship that was similar to the one Abby did with the cutting. I was doing just cutting mostly, a little bit of pattern stuff. And that one was actually really great.
Oh, Poppy disagrees.
Because it was timed really well because I was having my like post fashion design school like unsure moment.
Yeah.
I was like,
what am I doing?
And then I like kind of went back to like, I like reverted back to like craft hour sewing and was like doing things really shady and was like not like doing my patterns properly or like measuring these properly.
Yeah.
Or, and I was just like
cutting corners.
Again.
Yeah.
And then I went back, I went into this internship and then I was like, oh yeah, like kind of like refreshed me and reminded me. Like,
revived
properly
you.
To do
yeah.
things. And like it just
awesome.
Showed me that I actually care about doing them.
And
right
did you like it and you're
that
good
I like
at it.
It.
Yeah.
It feels good. And So yeah, that one was awesome. And that one was also like, I think just 3 months. And
yeah,
at the end of it, I was like, I need to get a job that pays me. And he was like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
He's like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then I was, so.
Things worked out. So what are you doing now? We don't have to mention where you're working if you don't want to, but what are you doing now? What's your sort of role
day to day? I am a technical, my role is a technical developer. Most companies call it a technical designer, but where I work, we have
everyone,
a different
everyone
name.
Has their own
things
lingo.
Are special.
Yeah. A designer is a coveted job.
Yeah,
for a coveted
yes,
title.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically what I do, I work collaboratively with the design team. My role is fit, measurements, construction, and communicating to the factory.
Cool.
So all the hard
stuff. So getting
stuff.
Shit done.
Yeah, getting shit done.
Getting That's
shit
awesome.
To the designer's like, I want it to be pretty and like.
This is the vibe I'm going for.
And like, here's a sketch. And then I'm like, okay.
You're like, great. Like, are we cutting this on the bias?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So it's really good. I'm working on, my commodities are bodysuits and t-shirts and skirts, which is a bit of a rando. There's a girl on mat leave. I'm filling that hole. Because everybody knows how much I like working on skirts, yeah. Right?
Claire's favorite. The girl coming from
like, menswear. Yeah.
That one, there was like one like time where we like had to design skirts for homework or something. It was like the worst night of my
this
life.
Was,
like, I had to draw like 10 skirts and I was like, I am never doing this again.
And you were just like, pencil skirt, great. Add a frill, fabulous.
Yeah, here's a ruffle.
Yeah.
It has pockets, next.
I like your skirt. It has pockets. So, I don't know what I was saying. Oh, yeah. And the bodysuits is great because I like goes well with my dance performance stuff because I'm a designer.
Yeah,
so I know them. I wear them. I've worn them my whole life. And it's like the closest I can get to activewear on the team that I work on right now.
Right.
Because that's what I really want to be doing long term. Hopefully, maybe right now. So yeah, it's like it's pretty great. I work on patterns. I get to collaborate with people, work on a team. The people I work with are awesome. Like there's like the people I've worked all over the world and
so
tons
cool.
of knowledge and just like total like garment nerds are all the people that work in my department.
That's so, great.
Yeah, just like the nerdy ladies
ideal.
That just like know their shit and are just like on it.
The
and
best.
Yeah, it's awesome. So like large scale, like it's a pretty big company and like certain things about it, like, I'm not super comfortable with, but I do feel like this is a really good place for me right now because I'm just learning so much.
I bet.
So it's like, it's probably going to be a short-term thing for me, like, you know, 3, maybe 5 years max. And then after that, I'm going to have, like, so much more opportunity to,
oh my God,
to
no
go
kidding.
Wherever I want, hopefully.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah. So yeah, it's great. Like I was saying earlier, like I have to pinch myself at work. I'm like, wow, I'm actually like doing this.
I
know
paid.
Tech packs like inside and out now. And we talked about them for maybe 5 minutes.
I know.
In school,
years
yeah.
that we were in school. Yeah.
I know. I just started making tech packs.
Yeah,
for
it's
us
like
too.
Such a huge part of the industry.
It's huge.
Yeah.
God, when you have to, like you say, like you get a sketch from a designer and then designer, which we all joke about because we all went to design school.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I wanted to be like this and like look like this. It's like kind of like this feeling. Like remember the thing from the thing and the Sex and the City and the whatever. It's
with
like
the sleeve.
That.
Yeah.
But with a sleeve. Yeah, exactly. So then what the like 95% of what the fashion industry is turning that cloudy fucking description.
Mishigas. Yeah.
Into a commodity.
Like
which,
a real life.
Like,
it's not alive. But
out of fabric.
Three-dimensional.
It starts as a bunch of sketches and then you break it down and then it's fabric and it's patterns and it's binding
thread
and it's zippers. It's threads.
Yeah.
It's buttons.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's snaps. It's closures. It's then communicating.
Measurements.
All of those details. It's measurements. Communicating that to a factory that is probably overseas and probably doesn't speak English.
Yeah. Translation.
That's why things like when you see a pattern and there's a number and it's circled, that's the cut number because everybody knows numbers. You don't need
Math
to say the word cut.
Language.
You can just circle it and that means cut.
Two. Yeah.
And
done.
Colors. Like blue is, I think these change with companies.
Yeah.
But blue is fusing or blue is contrast or blue is
blue's
lining.
Contrast.
I'm not sure which is it.
There's
is, but
rules. Yeah. I don't know. I can never remember.
As long as everybody's on the same agenda within the company, you know, or yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The facings are green and the puzzle and the outer pieces are blue.
And lots of it will be fairly obvious that, like, this piece that's
like, if you 10% know your shit,
smaller than this piece, that's interfacing. Yeah. You should be able to know what you're doing. But it's cool, like you say, like, garment nerds. Like, that's...
Totally. That's like, my goal. Yeah. That's my goal. That's the best. That's, like, all I want to do is just know all the nerdy stuff.
That's why I loved when we all got together to work on my last collection. It was just, like, all these fashion nerds in one room. It was, like, me and Abby and Katie.
Done.
And then Giselle was my intern. And then two of my interns, Jared and Shayna, they were just starting fashion school. But they were, like right up in there, just, like... like bug eye.
They ran it to win it, those guys.
Oh my God. Love it.
I know. And there was like a couple of things, and we just roll in like basically strangers to these people. Like, we've met them, but we don't.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, we've met them socially.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, at the Cobalt or whatever.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, and then
we're all like 3 beers deep, just like, hi.
Fashion.
Yeah.
But we roll in and we're like, oh, we should do this. And like, if you cut it this way and if you put it that way, then it'll work better because
that's not going to work. Evan, why did you do that? And that's not going to happen. Oh, we don't have enough fabric for that. Okay, we need to rethink how to do this.
Yeah.
Can we put a seam here?
And the kids are just like,
okay.
They're problem solving.
Yeah. There was a lot of like them standing around just like waiting to be told what to do, and then I realized we've been standing there for 20 minutes, the three of us talking, and I was like, oh fuck.
To tell them
that's an internship.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiting just for instruction.
It's like, I'm sorry, but like
we gotta talk this through.
We gotta figure this out. Yeah, if you could get an internship where you can hear the whole collaboration of like what is happening with the design.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Open your ears and take notes.
Overhearing and eavesdropping is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Just because you're there to do one job doesn't mean you can't listen to somebody else do another job.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Poppy's flirting with me a little bit.
I'm so distracted by baby right now.
Yeah. Just trying to keep her moderately quiet.
How's our time at? Should we take a quick break?
I think, we'll take a little break and we'll come back
and
with
we'll
some
come back.
We'll obsess.
Good old obsessions. Wah, my baby. And we're back. Let's see how, if we can get through these obsessions without my baby losing her shit. Come on, sister. Let's get it. No! Fuck you! Mom!
I'm already ruining your life.
She already hates my guts. I haven't even reached the teen years yet. She's already like,
no.
Mom! Mom! Anyway, obsessions. What have we got? Well, who should start?
I'll start.
Okay, go for
it. I have, speaking of your hate on for skirts, which always makes me laugh because I have one skirt that I make all the time, and that's all I want to wear ever, like forever.
You love it so much.
I found this really cute fabric at Dresso. I went through Dresso. I've been through there like 3 times in the last like 6 days.
I haven't been in months.
But I found this really cute, kind of nice, lightweight, kind of it's like a viscose. Mm-hmm. I think it's a viscose and not a rayon, but they're basically the same thing. But it's like a wide navy, or it's a navy with wide thin little pencil stripes, but they're really far set apart.
Oh.
And little foxes on it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going back to my like
giant
kind of, not super, super giant, like a
nice circle
tailored
skirt.
Version. Sure. Circle skirt.
Like a
pockets.
Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah.
A Catherine Hepburn.
Like just below the knee. So I bought
classic.
That and I've been putting the fabric, or pardon me, putting the pattern together, but I completely forgot about gathers. I wanted it like a flat waistband in the front and gathers in the back. So I only did a gathered waistband. I didn't put the gathers into the skirt part.
Oh, do you
so
really
have to
figure that out?
So I can add like
a bunch
probably
of
12 inches of fabric into the back of my skirt.
That can then
solves.
Be gathered.
I know,
well,
I go
at least
to,
you
I
figured like, it out now and you didn't cut your fabric out and then be like, oh, fuck.
Oopsies.
So good for you for figuring it out at this point.
Oh, no, it's cut. Yeah, I got to go back and like,
just add it.
Add some more panels. Sure.
There.
Yeah. That's right. Panels.
I know there's more fabric there if I need it.
It's gathered. It's fine.
No one there you go. Can't see it. You can't see the seams. It's
no. And I was like putting it all together. I was like, this is going really well. And I was like, oh, no, I just jinxed myself by saying that because everything was going so smoothly.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
Up. Everything, there was enough fabric. It was as wide as I wanted. But obviously it had to go wrong. So that's all I've been doing all day.
Oh,
but I'm stoked.
Wow.
I'm stoked about it. And now I have, once I get this pattern right, I'm going to just go and get all the fun fabrics that I want.
Yeah.
And just make the same skirt over and over.
Knock them out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's mine. It's pretty pretty quick and dirty, but oh no.
She's real miffed.
She's PO'd. Let's see if I can get the bounce going here that she likes. There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Let's see. I'll kill my arm in about 2 seconds. If it shuts her up, then.
Evan, you have an obsession.
I do.
What is it? Let's hear all about
it. I am not much of a person for scariness. I don't like scary movies. I don't like to be scared. I don't like going on rides. But there's this podcast called Lore.
It's spooky scary, but it's good. But
it's so good. Like, I think it's might have something to do with, like, the same way that American Horror Story has this kind of social context and historical context behind everything.
Yeah.
It still makes your spine tingle, but it also makes you think.
Did you hear about have you listened to the one about the gremlins on the plane?
No.
That's some Twilight Zone shit.
It's good.
What was it? I think it was the one about the elf folklore around the world, and specifically in Iceland.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
Where it was just like, holy shit.
It's so good.
Yeah.
That's
And it's only half an hour.
Yeah, and they're only half an hour.
Episode's half an hour.
Oh, even better.
I've torn through like 75% of the whole show. Claire's like, on board.
Yeah.
Just taking notes.
Elves, gremlins, I'm in.
Yes, you will totally like it. The guy's voice is a little bit funny. Like, the way that he talks is a bit like,
it's a little clipped. It's a little clipped.
Yeah, but it's fine.
But it's this dude, Aaron Mankey, and I don't know what he does professionally. He's a horror writer. He writes horror novels. Probably will never read it because
It's too scary.
There's one critique, Aaron, if you're listening.
Evan has
what you got?
Fingers up, girl. I'm gonna lead with the pinky on this one. You know what I mean business when I lead with the pinky. Just listen. Then you might want to start referring to the Native Americans, not as Native Americans, but as the indigenous people of the
North
United
America.
States.
Sure.
Because.
Fair point.
Amen.
Get it. You're a learned man. You're a scholar. Look into it. Do your research. I don't need to explain to you.
It would be greatly appreciated.
Google it.
It'll be greatly appreciated.
It's on the internet.
Because when he. When he discussed the Russia, like the indigenous people of Russia, and he called them the indigenous people of Russia, but when he discusses Native American. He said Native American.
Interesting.
And it's just
interesting.
Like,
very interesting.
They are not native to America. They were there before America was America.
Mother rugger.
That's the long and short of it. But yes, I love the podcast and I highly recommend it.
I'm behind, but I got to go back to that Iceland one. It's been a while since
I've heard God, that one. That's the one that hooked me. I was just like, oh, whatever. And then I was just like, ooh, place. Elves.
The Gavros might be going to Iceland.
Oh, fun.
We're doing
I'd love to go. You can go to the Gavros Animal Penis Museum.
Great. We'll add it to the list. Yeah, my parents were like, everybody's 30. We need to go on a trip. Or not everyone's 30. Everyone's in their 30s.
So sure.
We need to go on a trip. Oh, that'd be fun. So that's I'm so turning fun. 30 this year. And they were like, maybe Iceland. I was like, yes.
Yes, please.
Yes,
do it.
Meet sign me up.
Elf or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a
you can go
them.
To this place. It's like this huge rock that they tried to like.
Yes.
They tried to like blow through it to make a road through it, but every time that they did it, their machine was fucked up. Things
something
went missing.
Went
there's some serious magic going on.
Oh yes,
there's legit magic.
And the people in the area were like, "Oh no, don't fucking go there because fucking elves live in that fucking
mountain.
They live in the rock.
They live in that
and
fucking
they're
rock,
not,
motherfucker.
They're not gonna want
and
this.
They are fucking with your shit.
They're not gonna let you get through.
No,
no, that's their homes.
So eventually, they decided we're gonna build the road around.
Yeah, there we go. We'll change your plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the people in Iceland happy. Were like,
death.
Yeah, and like, it's a thing in Icelandic culture. Like, people, like, even just like learned people, they're like, yes,
they
are elves.
They respect it, yeah.
In
it's
Iceland.
Part of the culture.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating.
It's amazing. And that's one episode. Just keep going. There's things about murder. There's things about witches, vampires, zombies, like anything. Werewolves.
Gremlins.
Like, everything.
Ghosts.
Like, it provides so much historical context to the witch hunts in
things.
America, in Europe,
awesome.
And how that transferred
cool.
to colonialism in America.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating
stuff. I can't recommend it enough. Lore.
That's great.
Yeah,
subscribe
good.
On iTunes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, One of my favorite parts of this podcast is just how we jump around from things that don't necessarily go together. It just shows how multifaceted and interesting we are as people. Because my obsession is the 2004 Lindsay Lohan song, Rumors. I've become obsessed with it. It was just, I talked to you guys about this earlier. Just, it's on a mix. I found an old CD in the car and I popped it in, and it's a whole bunch of like the Pixies and Bill and Sebastian and the Beatles and like all these hits, Elvis Costello. And then there's that. And then I just like replay, replay.
I'm tired of rumors starting.
I'm sick of being followed.
Oh my God, do you remember the music video too?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
In the parking lot or something?
Oh, like, there was a parking lot. There was a cage.
Helicopter. He's rolling around in a car.
Helicopter. Yeah.
There was a green top that was like, it was draped. It was a bra. And it was draped with like a charmoussi kind of thing.
Oh, it was 2004. That sounds about right.
Yeah. It was great.
Oh, man. I looked up the like Wikipedia page for it. And some people, it was like, some reviewers called it infectious and others said unnecessary. Yep.
Sounds about right.
That's Lindsay Lohan in a nutshell.
That's about it. So that's my obsession.
I like it.
Oh,
I just watched Mean Girls again a little while ago.
So good.
It stands up.
It really does.
Highlight of her career.
So good.
Downhill from there.
Yeah. Very quickly.
Mind you, in Georgia Rule, she didn't wear a bra the whole time. So there's that.
Mm. Oh, good for her.
It's all I could think about that
Georgia
whole
Rule
movie.
Is her most critically acclaimed role.
Was her not? I'm like, she's not wearing a bra here. She's not wearing a bra. Still not wearing a bra.
No.
Totally not wearing a bra.
Uh-uh.
She could not wear a bra with that top. She's not wearing a bra, is she? Like, I don't even remember what the movie's about. It was totally part of the character.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was a choice.
We'll be sharing the video on our blog page. So.
Oh, and there's a great scene in Georgia Rule where she cusses out some like basic bitches who are talking shit about her because she's hanging out with some dude.
She's not wearing a bra.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah.
They're just nipples.
Is it Garrett Hedlund that's in that
Garrett
movie?
Garrett Hedlund, yeah.
Mm, he's a nice piece. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
I have not seen it for a while.
You're fine.
Jane Fonda plays her grandmother. Plays her grandmother, and Felicity Huffman plays her mom. So there you go.
All right, pretty good.
And it still manages to be a piece of shit. So how they did that is a miracle. Maybe they need an episode of Lore about how that shit went down.
Yeah.
I'll give it a pass.
Oh, let me check my schedule. No. Oh, Claire, you obsess?
Yeah. No, I'm like obsessing all the time over so many things. But I'll tell you my most recent one. It happened last night.
Oh yeah.
I ordered a wig from China.
We have nothing but time to discuss wigs.
Okay. So I'm doing a photo shoot coming up in March with my dance troupe. And it's like a fantasy pastel goth kind of theme was what we're going for.
Because you don't just like put on a t-shirt and dance and like hop on.
No, it's Claire's
legit. It's costumes, it's characters, it's
It's lighting. It's lighting, honey. It's timing.
It's makeup. It's contact lenses. It's, you know.
Horns, whatever.
It's awesome.
The package.
This isn't some pedestrian shit going on.
Oh, yeah. Hell no.
This is not a ballet recital.
No. Oh my God. But I'm okay. Anyway. I ordered this wig. It's like super long. Like it's like down to here. And like I have short
hair.
She's
like below her ribcage.
Yeah, below my ribcage.
Like belly button.
Like, I think it was like, I don't know, 32 inches long. Something crazy.
That's a long ass wig.
And I put it on, and at first I was like, what is all this hair everywhere?
What's happening?
Not used to having hair at all. And then I was like, oh, look at all this hair.
Now
and
what?
And then Alex was like out actually for the night. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to get done up in an outfit. And I like put on like the sexy bodysuit and like my thigh high boots because I have
Why
those.
Not? They're sitting there
took,
asking
like,
for it.
A thousand selfies of myself in this fucking wig, and now I'm like completely obsessed. I'm like, I need to order like 10 more wigs.
Welcome to the world of wigotry.
Yes. I can't believe it's taken me this long.
Oh man.
Like, what are you doing?
You just texted me a picture of you in a wig last week, didn't you?
I'll show you a photo of this wig.
We've discussed this wig, like honestly, the last three podcasts, the lace front. This is like movie lace, honey. This is not stage lace. It was movie lace, Legally Blonde.
Is this beautiful?
Are you trying to call me out on that stage shit?
There's a difference. I come from the RuPaul school of wigotry, and there's a difference between the movie lace and the theater lace, and then just regular drag queen lace.
Mm-hmm. Evan's eyes are literally closing.
I'm closed.
Right now.
Slight flutter. So what kind of wig are we talking? Synthetic, human?
Synthetic. It's kind of crappy. But no, super high
performance.
Quality.
You need a synthetic
work.
Wig.
Well, and we're gonna backcomb it. Like that was the plan, was to backcomb it. So it's already getting a bit ratty, but it actually looks really pretty for the $25 that I spent.
Yeah.
But like, of course, I'm like, okay, now I need to like level up.
Now that you know the possibilities,
yeah. Like it like doesn't cover like. It doesn't have like the shape here.
It's just like a regular.
Yeah, it's
cap.
Just round. Yeah. So I mean, luckily I have this like
a shaved side,
pink
yeah.
side of my head.
Honey,
that's cute,
why you draw on the hairline. That's when you get that black eyeliner out.
Okay, I'm gonna have to have a session.
Call Evan over. Luckily, the family that I married into has in the past, and I'm sure in the future, I'm hoping to be a part of one of these. But they have wig parties, and they'll have like I think for. Chris's aunt's birthday one year, they had a wig party and you could not come into the party without a wig. So they had like a spare box of wigs. So,
oh my gosh.
And then this party was like so fun and was so like, it was right behind Sophie's. There used to be a flower shop up there, like on Kits, you know?
Yep.
I think it was Sophie's or Margaret. Anyway, it was up in there, but it was just off like the main drag. And it was like this super fun party that people like came off of the street and were like, oh,
what's going on here?
Come in and
got wigs on.
Thought it was like a bar, like a club or something, because it was so much just fun so and hop, everyone was like hopping. Having a super fun time. And so they got in on the party and they got the wigs and
genius.
All the wigs were going around and just like a legendary party. And this,
that's
thankfully,
a great
is the
idea.
Family that I married into.
Yeah.
So. One of these days we're going to have another
I don't think
wig
my in-laws
party.
Have wig parties.
Maybe I'll wear a wig.
Don't think so.
No?
Oh.
Do they have sweater vest parties?
Maybe.
The most stunningly catered dinner party.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yes, yeah. Fun.
Most stunning.
We'll have hors d'oeuvres, but no wigs.
And an Issey Miyake number.
Yeah. Oh, yoy, yoy.
Yeah.
Now, maybe we need to have wig parties then.
Yeah, we should do a wig party.
I will most likely have worn a wig to our Oscar party that we're having on Sunday. This is in the time machine. This comes out post Oscar
right,
party.
Post party.
We're recording this before our Oscar party, but it will come out after our Oscar
yes.
party.
So it's like we're in the future, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yes. We are in the future.
In the future.
Yes. The future is now. So sweet. Well, that's pretty fucking outstanding. Good for you.
Yeah.
Wigs, bring it on. 2017. Wigs for 2017.
I'm so into it. I'm so
the possibilities are endless.
Well, because I like kind of want to dye my hair. Like I kind of want colored hair.
Sure.
But
give
I'm,
it
like,
a whirl.
I don't want to dye my hair because it's a pain in the ass. And
yeah.
I'm like,
that's work.
Wigs. You can just put it on your head.
Put a wig.
Yeah. You have mint green hair down to your ass in a second.
Yeah.
Best thing that ever happened to me.
Sweet. I'm surprised it's taken
you that long because one of the first things we discussed when I met you was how you felt like you were a drag queen.
I mean, you know what? I did used to buy like super expensive, really high quality wigs for like one shitty Halloween costume. Like I went as like Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife once.
Nice.
And
nice.
I bought like
a Barb
$120 wig or
yeah.
something. That was like an ugly mullet.
Yeah.
Like, so I think I was like starting then, but I didn't really know what I was doing.
And,
you know, now I'm more refined.
There's experience,
taste,
maturity.
Yeah. First perspective.
Yeah. You know.
We're going to have to go wig shopping.
Yes. Let's do it.
It'll be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Wigotry.
And then we have to actually do that performance that we've been planning.
I know.
The cabaret.
We've talked about this for so long.
For
we
years.
Really want to do Hot Honey Rag.
I brought cabaret. It up like 2 days ago again. So
to
it's
who?
Happening. And my friend, he performed in a cabaret performance one time.
Of course.
And
everybody knows somebody who was in cabaret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just ask around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, God. But yeah, like now that I'm dancing again
you're
and I'm
dancing
back in
again.
The studio.
I'm dancing
I'm limber.
Again. You're limber.
Yeah. Your body's back in the game.
And I'm kind of like, now that I did Métis dance for so fucking long, it's like, yeah, I could probably get into something else.
Yeah,
sure.
Seriously.
Transferable
time
skills.
Now.
Yeah.
Let's do it. People
you know someone who could hook you up.
Yeah. Oh, God. We have like multiple connections in the drag world that would just be like, yeah.
Happy to have you.
Across the nation.
Across. Oh, yes. We could take this transcontinental.
Yeah.
Sheila could hook you up in Sweden, I'm sure.
Picturing us performing at some dive. Like, we're on tour.
Our one number from Cabaret World.
It's basically a talent show. You guys are like, yeah. We're back with the dressing rooms, everyone.
Where's
with
my light?
But we would have the nicest wigs.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Everybody would be jealous of your wigs.
Oh, and it would just be like, I would have like full boning corset, like padded, like to the nines.
Oh, for sure.
Full like white sequin with fringe to my calves.
Oh,
darling.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. And like,
speaking to me.
Full, we need to have the full like white, like marabou feather, like cape that needs to be pulled off like a vaudeville act. Like there's a string attached to the cape that gets
somebody
pulled
yanks
off.
On it.
It gets yanked.
Yeah,
we don't throw it. It just all of a sudden gets taken away.
It's just...
And we go into some high kicks, like some Charleston style high kicks.
There you go.
Start stretching.
Oh boy. Remember when we talked about tangents earlier?
Well, there you go. We're really good.
I think that's really the reason that we decided to do
to loosely
sessions.
Throw yes, exactly, yeah, a bunch of shit together.
We have like a
it's just
a
jumping off points.
Yeah, a slightly structured area where we can talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It works.
Well, thank you so much for joining
yes,
us.
Thank you for having me. I was secretly like, oh, maybe one day they'll maybe ask me.
I was
going to
say, on the podcast. I can definitely foresee us having you again.
Oh, yeah.
This is super fun, and cool. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I like you guys.
We're all right.
I was thinking about it on the way over, like last week when we were joking about how we only ever see each other because we have this podcast together now. It's like, oh, well, now Claire's in on it.
Hi.
We haven't hung out, the four of us,
in
probably
forever.
Since my last show.
Since your last show, essentially. Seriously. Yeah. So, yeah, now we have an excuse.
It is a good excuse.
Yeah, I'm into it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this wasn't completely unbearable for everybody to listen to at all.
I think we're okay.
Yeah. And the biggest miracle of the episode.
The baby's asleep. The baby's sleeping.
Yeah, she finally fell asleep.
Little puppy.
Oh, my God. We'll see. She's pretty good at falling asleep with a bunch of noise happening, okay. So that's good.
She does have a big sister and a dog.
There you go. And I got shit to do. I was in like a super noisy cafe the other day, and this lady comes up and she goes, "She sleeps through this?" I'm like, "Yeah." This is like a drill we're running here. It's like making sure she sleeps through this. I'm doing this on purpose. Oh, but anyway.
Also, don't talk to me when I have my coffee. This is my quiet time.
This is my grown-up alone time.
Off,
thank
lady.
You. I'm reading The Girl on the Train and then giving up and just reading the Wikipedia. So
yeah,
and then going back to my phone and playing
Rumors.
Yeah, I'm playing Rumors by myself on repeat. Excuse me, this is Mummy special time. Oh, well, Claire performs locally. You have a couple days if anybody wants
anything
to look
plug?
Into you.
Want
to
yeah,
plug?
Yeah, Silly 8, 9, March 11th. At, I think it's like at the upstairs of 560. It's like a small kind of art space. So
sweet.
Anybody's into that kind of thing. You can like look it up on Facebook and check it out. And it's going to be lots of amazing art. So
is it just one night or is it?
Yeah, it's one night. And they do it like once or twice a year. Just my friend, a friend of mine curates the whole show.
And, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. There you go. It's your turn this time.
That's
solo
my turn.
Performance.
Yeah, it's pretty
very
cool.
Exciting.
I'm super excited.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Anybody else got anything to plug?
I'm just going to say, keep sending us notes and messages.
Yeah, send us stuff.
Fucking love it. It's awesome.
Me and Katie almost started crying upstairs listening to
I know,
reading
gonna,
a message.
I know. I'm going to go read them all and go at home and go.
Yeah. So
and
thank
cry,
you for
cry,
all
cry.
Your
and
emails.
For me. And for
thank you for all your emails and letting us know. Exactly. Like we said, we're a bunch of yahoos just sitting here swearing on the internet.
Yeah.
Talking about stuff we kind of know about. Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah, there you go. And my 2.5-year-old said motherfucker yesterday, so.
Oh, great.
I'm going to have to maybe.
It's time to maybe.
Doing everything right.
Yeah, there you go.
She
was super cute. Like, yeah.
It was so adorable.
Super cute. Aww. My husband was less impressed. But anyway.
Anyway. So fashionhags@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram. That's always a good spot to share some stuff and tag us on stuff because we've had a few tags of our some vintage fashion for people, which
yes, we love.
Love. More of that, please, always.
Yeah. Please tag us in dumb shit. We live for dumb shit. If you haven't picked that up yet, that we live for dumb
34
shit.
34 episodes in.
Please tag us in your dumb shit.
If you see a weird dog.
Yeah.
Sign us up.
Anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't even need to be fashion related. You know what we like.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you see the inside of
a nice
pants
wig.
And they are bound, I want to see that. Yeah.
Especially in like a cool contrast fabric too. Uh-huh. Sign me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, hot Fashion Hags podcast, Fashion Hags pod on the internet. No, Twitter precisely.
And then like us on Facebook as well. And there's this thing called iTunes, and it's a place where you can listen to this podcast and many other ones.
For
and
free.
And they have this thing called rate and review, and go do that. And
yeah. Oh, what's that other? What is that other place where people have been reviewing?
Podbay.
Podbay is another place. We've got some really nice reviews there too. So thank you if you've done them, and thank you if you could do one, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
Please do that. It warms our little hearts, and it also makes us
helps us kind get of out there.
A bigger deal.
Yeah, exactly. then we already are in our own minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you guys
stroke
again
my
so
ego,
much.
Please.
Yes, please.
Always. Always. That's why we're in fashion, isn't
Hello.
It?
Yeah.
Exactly. Positive feedback.
It has nothing to do with that when I go on stage.
No. No, nothing.
Not at all.
It has nothing to do with the roaring applause.
Totally unrelated.
Totally unrelated.
Oh, well.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. And like always, we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Bye.
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 Fashion. Fashion. Hey.